Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
So we, you know, you have a pastor that is a big mouth. And so I had so many points last week that I only got through three of them. So how many of you enjoyed last week's message? We learned about how to pursue holiness. We're learning what God says about these things. And in these times of brokenness, God's holiness stands strong. It stands firm. You know, there's reasons why the holiness of God is like a beautiful shadow in our lives of just goodness and protection and rest and love and grace. And when the world looks nasty and bleak and hopeless and has no hope, guess what? I can press into the holiness and the goodness of my God. And I know that he's going to come through and that he's got my back and that he's going to carry us through these hard times and that he is still God on the throne no matter what's happening here on this earth, that he is still on his throne and he is still almighty. He is still omniscient. He is still all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, and his holiness will abound. And so we as Christians, we learned last week a few things about holiness. Number one, holiness means to be set apart, right? You are set apart. Can you fix my mic? It has a lot of extra. I'm a girl. You gotta work with me here because we don't want to annoy everyone, right? Okay, so holiness is being set apart. It's being God-likeness. It means to cut and to separate from things that are unholy. What does that mean, Pastor Jess? It means that you're different. It means that when you said yes to Jesus, that there was something that changed inside of you, your DNA. You don't realize it, but it did. And we learned that you are now the salt of the earth, and you are now the light in the darkness. And we learned that in our loyalty to God, it glorifies him, and it brings a holiness into our lives, into a presence. You guys remember those three points. You are the light, remember that? You are the salt, and we are to be loyal to God. Now, there are two more points that we're going to step into today, and I'm not going to take too much time on the other points. If you did not get them, you can go back to the archives. It's really actually easy. And look it up, because I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss it. And why is my computer not working? Don't you love that? You know, I'm going to just have to go to my notes. Old school. All right, old school. So here we go. Point number three, okay? Point number three, how to pursue holiness. Have reverence for God. Have a reverence for God. What do we think about the word reverence? That seems like kind of an older word, like a word that maybe I don't use all the time. I never actually use the word reverence in most of my vocabulary. But when I think about God, I actually do think this word is very fitting. Reverence means to fear or to be in awe of him, a devotion or a worship to who he is. This is only God has the power. Listen to me. Only God has power over death. Only God has power over death and hell. And this should be a fearful wake up and a call for us as the body of Christ. When we understand who God is, all of a sudden, he doesn't become this guy in heaven that's going to bank us over the head with a 2x4 if we don't do something right. But there's that healthy fear. I was raised with parents that actually disciplined me, you know, like unlike new generations. I just watched a TV show and they were like, we're never going to whoop our kids. I'm like, you need to whoop your child because your child needs to know that there are limits to things that they can do. This is why the world is a hot mess right now because we didn't have parents showing up and being parents. And God is a parent. And God loves us and he keeps us and he gives us boundaries and he gives us things. And he says, don't go here because if you do, there's consequences to where you go. And if you do this or if you do that, then you're walking away from me and there's going to be consequences for those things. And here's God, God in heaven, who knew you, who loved you, who breathed life into you, who knew every hair on your head. It didn't matter how you entered this earth, you still have a purpose and you have a destiny. So if you are in this room or if you're listening online today, I'm here to tell you your life matters. And that the God of heaven thought of you when you were being born, when you were being created, when we talk about those fetuses that aren't humans yet, but they really are, because God is putting all of their cells together, and God has already formed a name for them, and God has given them a gender and an identity according to heaven. And see, this God, this same God who stopped the ocean from coming onto the earth, who put every star in the sky, who knew every hair on your head, who knew every cell in your body, who calls you by name, who intercedes on your behalf, this is the God of heaven and earth who's in love with you. But this God deserves to have a reverence and an honor and a fear. When we think about fear, we think about like maybe like Halloween, right? We think about scary things, things that are like, you know, like where we're paralyzed by fear. But I'm here to say there's another side to fear that keeps you. And when my mom and my dad would say things a certain way, I just knew, ooh, I'm going to get in trouble. I got crossed the line. And I wouldn't go there anymore. Why? Because they established my discipline at a young age. And when I became older, I was like, I don't cross that line. I learned my lesson, right? My kids are the same way. They don't go there because there's a healthy fear of mom and dad. I can give my son a look, who's a lot like me. He is me, pretty much, in a man's boy's body with hair now on his upper lip. And I'm like, I will look at him a certain way, and he's like, oh, all right, all right, all right. You know, and that doesn't just happen, guys. That was 13 years of training the fear of mom in him, all right? And so the fear of God is not a bad thing. Have you ever started gossiping about someone and you feel like, ooh, ooh, stop, stop, stop. Don't, no, that is the nudge of the Holy Spirit that is keeping you from walking into some sin. Have you ever decided to look at something on TV that maybe wouldn't be pleasing to the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us? And you feel this like, you know you shouldn't watch that. Like, you know that these aren't godly women. You know that these are not godly. Wait, why are you filling me up with this? And you're, ooh, ooh. But because you love God, you turn the channel. Because you love God, you change the pattern in your life. Because you love God. See, that's a healthy, a reverential fear of God. And that is actually holy. Did you know that when we allow ourselves to have this fear of God, it brings the Spirit and the presence of God's glory upon our lives, and it brings a holiness into our walk and into our way and into our pattern of life. God wants us to have a fear of him, not so that we're afraid of him so we can't come to him, but we're afraid of him because we know how powerful and how almighty he is, and we have an honor and a respect for him. Matthew 10:27 says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul, but rather fear him, this is God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, we're so afraid of what happens to our flesh. Those are temporal things. We're so afraid of the words of what people say, but those are temporal things. What we really should be afraid of is God in heaven. If we've pleased him, if we've honored him, if we've loved him, if we've done what it is he said, if we've lived our lives best as we can, if we've gone the distance trying to be God-like, and if we are seeking to pursue the holiness of who he is on the inside of us. Remember, we said the holiness is not something that we can just put on, but it's something that we take ourselves off and we put God on. And he that is in us is greater than he in the world. And so we carry holiness within us. He's living with us and through us. And when we have a healthy fear of who he is, and we know that what matters most is not what people think of us, not what the world speaks over us, not what the world looks like right now, but what matters most is what the God in heaven wants. What is his agenda? What is his purpose? What is his will? What does he need us to pursue? Where does he need us to go next? What patterns of life does he need us to change so that the fear of God begins to keep us and put us back on the right track? You see, we need to be more afraid of who he is than we are of what the world says. But I don't think we live that way, not even as Christians. So this may be a reminder for some of us today, because we all need to be reminded, because it's easy to get into our flesh. It's easy to fall back into, well, he said this and she said this. And oh, my husband this, and oh, my job this, and oh, my boss this, and oh, my family this, and oh, my kids that, and oh, the world this, and oh, that other situation. And all of a sudden, the complaining and the weights of the world become bigger than what God says over each and every situation. But yet the fear of God will keep us like, ooh, don't go there, don't start complaining. Go talk to God about it. Go get into the face of God over this. Because you need to get the God heart behind it. You need to get God's presence in it. See, we are God's disciples. Should we not have a fear? We should not have a fear of man, but a fear of what God says. I have a story for you. Sometimes the cup of iniquity is full, and people are ripe for its judgment. There was a city in Messonia, Italy. In the morning of December 28, 1908, an earthquake struck and 84,000 human beings died that morning. Only a few days before, this devastating earthquake laid a Messian, in the Messian districts were the ruins. I think we have a picture of this. Could you put it up? See these pictures? They are destruction. I actually thought I had a better picture than that. I paid a lot of money for it. There we go. Look at this. 84,000 people died in this earthquake. This is like fact. This is real. And this is what happened. The unspeakably wicked people, irreligious condition of these people that lived here, were violent, and they passed many objections against God's law. Actually, in a journal that they had printed only weeks before, they said this, daring the Almighty to make himself known by sending an earthquake. And in 3 days, the earthquake came. Don't mess with God. Don't test God. Don't mock God. Don't judge God. He is God, and he is God alone. Don't try and play God, because a lot of people are playing God right now, messing with science and calling it God. It's not God. And I'm here to tell you that don't mess with God. Don't test him. And when we have a healthy fear of who he is, we don't go there. Because we know that he's almighty. We know he's all powerful. We know he doesn't play games. And yet we have a healthy fear of God. Now let's look at another story. Turn with me to Exodus. It's a Bible study, so bring your Bibles. If you're at home, grab your Bibles. Exodus. We know this story. We've heard it several times, but it's always so good for us to remind ourselves, because boy, are we all human, right? And we can mess up on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I'm a hot mess all the time. And I need Jesus every day. And here's Moses. And he's leading the children of Israel away from Egypt. And they're coming after him. They're going through the Red Sea. In verse 21, it says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea back by the strongest winds. And that night, he made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were all, and a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Ephesians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. And all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and the horsemen. And now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, and so they drove them in with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. See, they knew who was on their side. These Egyptians even understood the fear of God and what was coming after them. Verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and the chariots and all of their horsemen. Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and in the morning, and when the morning appeared, then the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And when the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all of the armies of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, not so much of one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and then the water where the wall was, and them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine? Verse 30, this is where we get it. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work in which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You see, this God of heaven is one that we don't mess with, but is also one that comes after and takes care of his kids on a whole nother level. He is a dad to his children. And when you mess with God's kids, guess what happens? You got God coming after you. You got the God of angel armies on your side, women. You have the one who loves you working on your behalf. And when you feel like maybe you just don't know what you're gonna do, you just stay in the awe and the reverence of who he is, and you allow him to be God. Because when we begin to start telling God how to do things, guess what happens? We just waste a whole bunch of time. I feel like many times I do this. Have you ever just said, you know, God, what if you tried it this way? Like, I have these conversations with him. Well, what about this? Like, he's talking to me about something that he wants to change in ministry and some ideas, and it's been taking me about a good year. I'm finally starting to talk about it again to my teams, and now he's dealing with me onto the different parts of it. And in this planning time with the Holy Spirit, I'm like, what if we do this? And he says, what if you just listen to me? Okay. And I have to sit there, and I have to sit there with my notepad and my piece of paper, because I have a fear of God, and I never want to do something in my obedience that isn't his will, because it will waste my time, and it will waste his time, and it will not fulfill its purpose. So when we walk into the fear and the reverence of who God is, guess what happens? It begins to bless our lives. And people might think of us as, what are you doing? Have you ever had people ask you that? You have this fear, like, don't go there. Don't have that conversation. Have you ever had those conversations? Like, don't do it. Don't do it. And then you do it and you feel horrible afterwards and didn't go the way you should have gone. And you're like, I should have listened to God. You know, God does that for us because he's trying to keep us. Because he's holy and he wants to keep us close to him. He wants to keep us like him. He wants us to learn from him, and he wants us to change to be more like him and less like ourselves. And so if you've messed up, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to say it's going to be okay. Next time, let's do it better, right? And so I wanted to give you a moment in this, and I want you to ask yourself these questions, because I believe that sometimes in our teaching, we walk away and we get out the doors, or we, you know, turn off the TV or the internet, and all of a sudden we're right back into the world that we're busy in. But this is your time with the Lord right now. And I want you to ask him, take a moment with God, and I want you to seek your heart, and I want you to ask him, is there a part of your life that you have not shown him reverence in? There are things, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your job, maybe it's how you treat other people. And there hasn't been a fear of God in the things that you've done. And then I want you to write it down for a second and then go back and spend some time with the Lord this week and make a plan to make a new path for yourself. Go ahead, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Lord, we just come before you as your girls. And Lord, begin to keep us in awe. And Lord, we stand in awe of your goodness today. And Lord, we begin to check ourselves during this season of quarantine and during this time of searching ourselves. And Lord, we want to be more like you. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that every walk of our life would be walked out, God, with what you desire and your will. And Lord, let your love and your reverence keep us. Let your glory shine through us, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, the last point, so this is going to be a shorter message today, but the last point is to honor the Lord by honoring authority. You're like, oh, no, I don't like this one. This one is like, what, our whole world is falling apart because of this one. Well, yeah, because if the world would just listen to what the Word of God says, guess what would happen? We would be okay, right? But God is very serious about authority. He actually established it. Did you know that God is the one who ordained authority? God is the one who set it up. God is the one who backs it. God is the one who blesses it. God is the one who puts everything in order in the authority. And so when we honor the Lord by honoring authority, number one, honor is a humongous deal in God's book. Honoring is something that we don't do a lot of anymore in our society. But when we honor something, it means to estimate, to price, to fix a value on, or to have honor in, or to respect. When we respect our elders, do you remember the time when young people actually respected older people? I mean, what a concept, right? I wish that was still happening. Believe me, my three children will, because they have the fear of their mother in them. And I am teaching them to honor and to respect authority. But this has been something that has been lacking from our society for over hundreds of years. And so now we are seeing what is going on. And when God established authority and order, guess what happened? There was blessing. There was peace. There was morality. There was unity. There was love. There were these things when a family operates the way they should. Let's talk about the home. We have a husband who is the head of the house. We have the wife who submits to her husband. And then we have the children who submit to their parents. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people, and it is all whacked out. The children are running the home. The dad is annoyed with the home, so he's out of the home. He's in and out. And the wife is just trying to keep everything together. And what happens in those situations is that there's not the order that God had ordained for it, so it's having a hard time working in the proper positions and places that God ordained. Now, does it mean if you're living in a home that is not put together the way that it should be, does not mean you can't get there. If you're a single mom, guess what? You are now the authority in that home. Take your spot. Take your place. Because someone has to be, and God will use you, and he will walk through you, and he will help you raise those children. So I know that we live in a time where that is, but listen, for years and years and years and years and years, Satan has been taking away the understanding of authority on this earth. He has been ripping families apart. He has been ripping societies apart. He has been ripping positions and places apart. And it's even happening in the Bible. Do you guys want to learn about it? So it's not just us. Isn't that a good news, right? This nothing new is under the sun, guys. I know we look at the news and we go, oh! Well, guess what? It's happened before. Check out history. It just is like a big circle and just keeps going on because we're people. And just like the children of Israel, even though God delivered them and did all of that, how many times did God want to strike them down because they just would turn from God? But listen, let's learn today how to honor God with our lives. Let's learn how to honor the authority that God has placed over our lives. The Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus in this story, and they really wanted to trip him up. They didn't like what he was about. They didn't like what he was teaching. And it's just like people, right? Now, my favorite is that these are the people in the church. Now, as a pastor, I can tell you that is no lie. It's almost sometimes the Christians that you're more hurt by than the non-believers. The non-believers, you're like, well, you're a non-believer, I expect that. But the believers, we hurt each other. And we don't honor each other, and we don't walk in love with each other, and we try and trip each other up. And guess what? When you are that person on the side where you're trying to hurt someone else that is a believer, you are being used by the devil. You have allowed the enemy to come in and use you, and you will be biting, devouring, and dividing. And you need to repent right now if that has been you. Because God only blesses those that bring unity and peace. God blesses those that honor each other. We're going to talk about this a little bit in this point, about how we treat each other, honoring each other. We put a price on each other. I look at you, I look at each one of your faces and I value them. What you bring to the table is something I cannot bring to the table. If we sit down and have a conversation, you bring a wisdom to that conversation. You bring your life to that conversation. You bring your perspectives and your ideas to that conversation. Guess what happens? My world gets to get bigger, and I get to see something different than what I know. And guess what happens? I have more of an honor for what it is and how you've lived your life. That is beautiful, isn't it? If we would just honor each other a little bit more. If we would just honor the people that we get to do ministry with and life with, how much more would our lives be blessed? How much more would God be glorified? How much more would we see holiness released on the earth? You see, God is the highest authority. Let's keep that in mind while we're learning this lesson. We're going to talk about authority on earth. We're going to talk about the authority of heaven. But we're going to talk about on earth first. So go with me to Matthew 22. 18 through 22. This is where they're trying to trip Jesus up. And so we're going to pick the story up right where Jesus gets approached by them. And they ask him about the taxes. How do we pay the taxes, God? Should we be paying taxes? And they want to trip him up. Matthew 22, 18. But Jesus' reply to them, I love him. He just always has the best reply. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Ooh, come on. That's a word of wisdom right there. And he said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So he brought him a denarius, and he said to them, whose image is on the inscription of this? And they said to him, well, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled, and they left him, and they went their way. You see, God had a way of just stumping them. God had a way of showing. You know what God just did right there? He said, I'm still God. I'm still Jesus, who you don't believe that I am. I'm still the Messiah. But you still will honor those that money belongs to, because you live on this earth, and so you abide by the laws of the land. See, Jesus is showing us now, guys, that there are things in place, that God has put in place and rulers in place and things in place that we have to abide by. And when we do, guess what happens? Then God covers us in that. God takes care of us in that. You don't pay your taxes, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to have the blessing of heaven upon you. You're just not. And you're going to wonder, why did everything dry up? Why am I not blessed? Why? Well, go back. What have you been keeping? Because Jesus even paid his taxes. We know the story of when the disciples said, how are we going to pay the tax here? And he says, go fishing. And he pulls the fish out and he gets the money out of the fish's mouth. See, God will provide for you wherever it comes from. God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you in the land that he knows we have to live. Listen, Californians, it's crazy right now. I look at these other states and they're all opening up and businesses are thriving. I'm hearing reports that, well, businesses are on the rise and everybody's on. I'm like, not in California. What's happening to us? And you know what? I can get discouraged. I can get weary. I can get frustrated. And I'm hearing the stories of defeat and brokenness. But I'm here to say God knew we would be living in these times. And the Christians that are in California begin to pray and trust our God and know that he's got our back. And that when we follow what God has asked us to do, that he's going to back us in it. This story is so powerful because it's not easy to do. It's not easy to live. Honoring people that you don't want to honor is horrible. It's a fight of the flesh, guys. It's irritating when you have to love someone that's been hateful to you. Whew. Wait, no, that's where we draw the line. Love and honor are different things. No, they're actually a part of each other. Because when I can love someone, that shows that I honor who they are. I honor them as a person because God created them. Whether I like them, I don't have to like them. I don't have to like what they're about or what they do, but I do have to love them and see them through Christ's eyes. And I have to pray for them. And I have to show, okay, I don't like this. Listen, we're in business here at The Rock. We have schools. We have companies. There are so many things. And I have to say, the people that rule California are coming after the church. And it's been about the church the whole time. And I'm here to tell you that we see the enemy and we see what he's doing and how he's using people, but I will not curse what God has put in place. But I will ask God to remove, and I will ask God to either save or remove. You see, you can pray some God prayers for the leadership. You can begin to pray those things that you don't agree with. That's where your power comes from, church. We don't fight as the world fights. We fight as the Spirit fights. We fight in the Spirit. We walk in holiness. We walk in reverence, and we walk in love. And listen, we walk in authority because we are daughters of the Most High God, and he is above all authority, even on earth. So this story was not about God saying, well, I am not authority. This story is saying, you live on this earth, so it's time that you understand that there are things on this earth that I have allowed and I have established. You go, I don't understand that, but it's so evil. How come he's allowing those things? Because Satan is the ruler of this world. Listen, this is not God's territory. God's territory is in our hearts. He lives and dwells within us. This is going to burn up one day, ladies. He's on his way back, girls. Let's get right and let's get a new perspective. Because when we start thinking eternal, our lives begin to change and the purpose and the destiny of them have a new purpose and a new picture. And I'm not any longer afraid of what could be. I just know that my God's going to keep me in it. And I'm going to do my part the best that I can to uphold righteousness and the law of God. But I will not be taken down by the enemy because I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And if it comes to the point where I have to suffer and a gun is put to my head and said, deny Christ or live, then I will never deny Christ because he is my God and I honor him with my life. And he lives within me, and there's a holiness that has to be stood for, and there's a holiness that will come out of us as Christians. There's a renewing of the Spirit happening in the body of Christ. There is an understanding that there's an outpouring of God coming, and that the holiness of God is something that we cannot shy from, something that we cannot relate ourselves to. But when he came to live on the inside of us, that there is a reverence and there is an honor for who our God is, and we carry that everywhere we go. So what comes out of our mouths, how we respond to sin, how we respond to ungodliness, how we respond is being watched by the world. And we are the light in this very dark, nasty world. Let me remind you, you are the salt of the earth. You give the earth flavor. You are the one that determines that. So we honor God. Jesus was teaching us so much in these verses. He's establishing authority with these men, and these people try and trick him up. Romans 3, 1 through 7. Let's read Romans 3. Turn with me to Romans. Whew, everyone must submit to governing authorities. Wait, no. What about everything we're hearing on TV? That's not okay. I know. I know there's injustice. I know that there are bad people out there. I know. And I agree. But I don't agree everyone is bad. And I don't agree everything is wrong. And I don't agree every law that God did allow to be established should be broken. I don't agree. Because if God says that we are to submit to governing authorities, that means I've had to submit to a lot of people in my 41 years that I have not agreed with that have been over me. But guess what has happened? In 41 years, God has never let me down. In 41 years, God has never left me nor forsaken me. In 41 years, God has never, ever come against me because I have honored and respected and had a fear of God of authority over me. You see, we have to care more about what God thinks, like we talked about, than what the world tells us. We cannot go with the flow. We cannot be a part of the culture that is out there. We cannot believe everything that is spoken when it is the word of God. That is what we breathe. That is what we drink. That is what we eat. That is what we live in. That is how we honor God with our lives. Everyone must submit to all authority. All authority comes from themselves. It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? When you hear how different people got into office and you're like, I don't remember ever voting for that person, and I didn't know not one person who did. Because, listen, God is in control, right? And the authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels, rebelling is witchcraft. It's disobedience leads to rebellion, leads to witchcraft. I could get into it because there's some organizations right now that are exposing themselves, and it's actually witchcraft. From places that have had old school witchcraft, and they're talking about it just openly now. And they're calling themselves holy. Know your God, people. Know your God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against God. Ooh, that should scare some of us, right? God has instituted this, and they will be punished. You say, well, I've seen people get away with things. I've seen them not be punished. Listen, we're not talking about punishment on earth. They're going to have to answer for this one day in heaven when they're alone before their maker. And he says, when I asked you to respect the president of the United States that you did not like and you cursed him every chance you got, explain yourself. And you will be alone with God and you can't get out of it. You can't blame Johnny next door. You can't blame the president. You can't blame me. That is between you and God. You will be punished. Verse 3. I'm sorry, am I putting a little fear of God in you? This is called the fear of God. It's not a bad thing. It causes us to repent. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. Ooh. But those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authority? Do what is right, and they will honor you. Have you ever learned that lesson? I've had some bosses on the job, and when I fight them, guess what? I get nothing. I don't get the schedule I want for that week. I don't get the extra hours that I need for that week. I get nothing I ask for. But when I honor my boss, even when they're evil and they're wrong, because I've had many, I've had 15 jobs before I was like 20-something years old because I loved working. And I had so many different types of bosses. I had personality after personality. And I learned this lesson early, that if I get in good with the boss, that I'll get the schedule I need, and so I always got Sundays off, that I'll get the extra hours I need, so if I needed extra hours because I was hoping to pay for something, that I would get it and my coworkers wouldn't, and that I would have the favor on the job. So this verse is true, guys. I put it to practice, and it does work. And then verse 4, the authorities of God... servants sent for you for your good. They're for your good. You say, I don't feel like they're for my good. I know. I know that there are some bad people out there. But I'm here to tell you that that was not the point of why God set this up. It was actually to keep order. Did you know that, let's talk about the police and the military, that God anoints the sword. They actually anoints them to keep order in the land. Did you know that God actually talks about these positions? These are actually calls from heaven. They are warriors on behalf of people. And that they carry the sword. And that the sword is actually anointed. Now they carry guns. But they had swords back in the day. And that God anoints them to guard and protect the people around them. I was reading a story in Habakkuk. And where they were building the wall. And they were building with one hand and holding the sword in another. I feel like that's us as the church. We're building each other up. We're building up the word of Christ. But right behind us, we've got the sword. And we know that God is going to take care of us because we are his governing authority here on this earth. We are God's people, right? The church is God's governing authority on this earth. We are to remind people of what God says over a matter, not what the world says. But if you are doing wrong, and of course you should be afraid, for they have power to punish you. They are God's servants. Whoa. So you're telling me these bad cops are God's servants? I'm saying that they started out that way. I don't know where they end up. And they will have judgment from God on that. But I'm here to tell you that not all of them are that way. I know a million of them in our church that are the most amazing men of God I have ever met in my life. And they weep over people. They take care of the hurting. They run to the fires. They run into hard situations. I look at them and I think, I'd never want your job. Never. Like, no one could ever pay me enough to walk into the hell you walk into. They face demons. But they're built for that because God anointed them to do that job. Isn't that cool that God appoints everything in every position on this earth? So when we dishonor these things, careful, because you're coming against God. But if you are doing wrong, and of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for your very purpose of punishing those who do wrong. They're sent to punish wrong. That's their job. All right? Romans 13:5 says, so you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Wait, now you're bringing this back. What? Because my conscience is clear. Oh, yeah, well, I really beg to differ how close you are with God if that's your attitude. Because when you submit yourself to God, you have to really submit your heart to these things that are hard to look at, especially if you've been abused by authority. Some of you have had parents that have abused you your whole lives. Some of you have had teachers who have gone out on you. Some of you have had husbands who beat you every single day. Some of you have been abused by police officers. And I'm here to tell you that God is not saying that is okay in this. That God knows your pain and he will rescue you from those broken places. And he wants to come after the justice on your behalf. But you cannot do that on your own. You need God on your side. So when you walk this out and you submit and you ask God to come through and rescue you, guess what happens? He sends his angel armies on your behalf to take revenge on those that have gone after you in the wrong way. Trust God in this and submit and lay yourself down and trust that he's got your back. This is called trust. This is called honor. This is called fearing and understanding who your God is. Then your conscience is clear. Verse 6, pay your taxes. I heard they're about to go up 39% in California. That's crazy. They're already really high. So 39%, and I still got to pay my... Anyways, I'm going to have to write a letter about that one. So if you got to write some letters, right? Like, do what you got to do, but get your heart ready before God. Pay your taxes for these same reasons. For the government workers need to be paid. The people that are on the paychecks in the government, they don't know. They have no control over what the heads are doing. But they know they got to feed their families, guys, just like you have to feed yours. So you have to pay your taxes. They are serving God in what they do. They may not even know it. Give to everyone what you owe them. Don't owe anyone anything. You say, but I borrowed some money from a sister and da da da. Well, you better go start paying her back. You better put that in your book like, you know, I need to go pay them back. Now, this does not mean, okay, let's clear this up. Because I know people have problems with this idea. When someone gives you something as a gift, you don't have to pay them back for that. That's different. But when you borrow something from somebody, you say, I'll pay you back, and then you never do, guess what happens? That becomes a wedge between you and them. And they won't tell you because they're probably going to be godly and kind about it, but they don't forget. And they're like, yeah, don't ask me for money again. And what did you do with your, oh, you got your nails done, and then you asked me for some money. You know, like, I mean, it becomes this bitter thing inside of your heart. So God is saying, if you owe someone something, pay them. Pay your taxes. Pay the government fees for those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. I love John 12:26. If anyone serves me, this is what Jesus says, let him follow me. Remember, Jesus is all authority. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now let's talk about this because I know people have said, Pastor Dan and Jess, the government tells you that you're not allowed to have church. So why are your doors open? Well, let me tell you why. I actually have tons of scripture on why our doors are open. So remember, God is all authority. He establishes the different authorities on this earth. Now, when those authorities break God's law, when they go against what God says and what God commands, then we do not follow them. If your husband is asking you to sin against God, do not follow that. Okay? Is that simple? Right? If your boss is asking you to sin and break the law or do something like, do not follow that. There's no blessing in it for you. You go, oh, wow, okay, all right. It's kind of blowing my mind a bit. Let me give you some proof. You want proof? There's a lot, so get ready to write it down. when we obey these rules, as long as we don't sin and we do what God says. Let's look at this. In Daniel, when Daniel was told not to pray, he had to go pray anyways because God commanded prayer. As Esther, when she was forbidden to approach the king because that was illegal, but God led her while she fasted to go approach him and he gave her a plan, she found favor with the king and she got what she needed. In Matthew, when the wise men followed the star and they stopped at Herod's and they told him about it, Herod commanded them to come back through his town. When they saw Jesus afterwards, they had a dream and a vision and God said, do not go back the way of Herod. So they did not listen to what Herod said. They listened to God and they went around the other way. Okay? Then I have so many more. I'm only going to tell you about some, but we can go on and on. How about when, let's see here. When the disciples were preaching the gospel and they were thrown into jail, and then the angel came and got them out. Guess where they went? Back to the temple, and they started teaching. So the lawmakers went looking for them. Guess where they found them? Preaching again. And they said, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You just were in prison for this. This was their response in Acts 5:29. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, they understood who their God was. In Hebrews 11:23, it reminds us that when the king's command to kill the children, all the male children, that Moses was hidden for 3 months. Thank God she did not follow the law of the land. And she hid Moses because he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Do you see that our destiny is linked to what God says? Because God is all authority. So when the law of the land goes against God, then we cannot back that. Right? All right. I'm glad that we have that understanding. I could keep going, guys, because I got like a gazillion. How about when God tells us as wives to submit to our husbands? You're like, you know, can we skip that one? I don't like that one. But that one's in Ephesians. And he says to submit to our husbands. Now listen, if your husband is acting ungodly and asking you to be ungodly, no. But if he's asking you to do something that you are just being strong-willed about and you have a different opinion or a take on it, then guess what? You come under his mission and you will be blessed. And that shows honor in the marriage. And guess who's watching? Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Your church is watching. The people around you in your neighborhood are watching. They don't want to hear you fighting and throwing plates anymore. They want to hear you loving and getting together and having family communion and doing those things that are holy. You see, we speak so much with our lives. And holiness flows from us. And when we honor, we bring a blessing to God. In history, only Jesus was truly honored and his Father by submitting himself totally to the divine will of God. Divine will of God. He was in submission and it led him to the cross. That was full submission. Jesus submitted to what God asked him to do and it led him to the cross. That means Christ is now extremely exalted and God the Father raised Christ to his permanent position as our great high priest. An honor of incalculable significance. Jesus taught that one who serves him would also be honored by his Father. John 12:26, If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Talking about Jesus. And where I am, Jesus, there my servants, which is you, will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Equally, those who reject him also reject God the Father. When we don't honor each other, when we don't honor the love of God and what God does, this is 1 Peter, let's talk about honoring each other. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor some people. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? Write it in line. What does it say? Honor all people. Hold on. God is telling me to honor those messed up people that I don't want to like, the ones that hurt me, the ones that are evil because I know they're evil. I can see the demons crawling on the inside of them. God didn't say all that, did he? What did he just simply say? Honor all people. Because they were created in his image. And they can be saved. They can be restored. God is not done with them yet. As long as there is breath in their lungs, we have to see them as potential brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if I'm ready for that, Pastor Jess. That's okay. We're going to get there, okay? This is a challenge to us to allow our hearts to submit to the Holy Spirit. And because we love him and we reverence him and we want to live lives that are holy and glorifying to him, that we can learn to honor each other and we can learn to honor those that we don't love. It says, love the brotherhood. Who's the brotherhood? Look around. Your girlfriends, people that are of Jesus Christ. When someone is born again and they said yes to Jesus, guess what? You've joined a new family, and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are called to love each other. So when we bite and devour and pick each other apart, we are not honoring God. So let's get back into loving each other. Fear God and honor the King. That means put a price on those over us. I have a closing statement for you. David Brainman said this to Jonathan Edwards one day. I do not go to heaven to be advanced, but to give honor to God. It is no matter where I shall be stationed in heaven, whether I have a high or a low seat there, but to live and to please and to glorify God. My heaven is to please God and glorify him and give all to him and to be wholly devoted to his glory. You see, it is our jobs on earth to be devoted to who God is, because he's been completely devoted to you. When he went to that cross, he was completely devoted to your eternal life with him. He was completely devoted to giving us a way out of sin. He was completely devoted to submitting to God in heaven and laying his life down for us. And when we can choose to love God and love people and respect authority here on this earth, we are walking out holiness in our lives. It may not be easy, girls. I never said when I opened this message that this would be easy, because it won't be. This is going to challenge your heart. It's going to challenge your mind. You're going to get little pings like, don't go there. There's been times when I've read the new laws every single day for businesses, and I have wanted to be like, and I hear, and I'm like, ugh. So listen, I'm feisty. I don't do this right all the time. I mess up more than I get it right, guys. But I do know that God loves me, and I'm so gracious I can walk to the throne of God and say, okay, I screwed up. I want to be more like you, Lord. Forgive me. Help me. Because I want to honor those that you honor. I want to see people the way you see them. I want to respect authority. I want to fear you deeply. So I want to give you guys a moment. I'm going to give you a moment and ask yourself a question. Have I been out of honor in a place in my life? Has there been somewhere in my life, and he may take you all the way back to like your teenage job where you were horrible to that boss or something. I don't know. But just listen for him. Has there been a place in your life where you have not had honor? Ask the Lord for forgiveness for that, and ask him for a new path and to show you a new way. If I can get Jared out here. Lord, we ask for help to honor those over us. We ask for help, God, to see as you see. Lord, we ask for help to love our brothers and sisters the way you need us to. Lord, we ask, God, that you would help us to be women that are called by you, who love you deeply. And Lord, let our lives be a beautiful testimony of your glory and your holiness on this earth. They were walking vessels of your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.